opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those of the Barber's Chair Network, our great partners at HMB Media, or any of our media peers. We're just five idiots who love sports and love to talk shit. If you're offended easily, then this show isn't for you. And for those of you who aren't offended easily, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Remember, it's only entertainment. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another edition of I'm Not Gonna Hold You, Man. Per usual, I'm your host, Scott Lewis. It is Friday, May 23rd, 2025. Man, I can't believe this year is going by this fast. I feel like it was just New Year's a couple days ago, man. But it is May 23rd, 2025, man. Y'all know to follow me on all social media platforms, man. Follow me at Barbchair Scott. Follow the Barber's Chair and at Barber's Chair Co. on all social media platforms. That's X, that's Instagram, TikTok, the whole deal. Follow our partners, HMB Media, and at HMB Media TV on Twitter and at HMB Media on Instagram. And, of course, follow the show, I'm Not Gonna Hold You, at INGHY Show. And while you're at it, subscribe to our Patreon, man, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. If you are listening to this on our podcast feeds, you can click the link right there in the description box. If you are watching this on YouTube, take your phone up to the QR code, scan the QR code. It'll take you down to all four different tiers. And if you subscribe to the $5 I'm Not Gonna Hold You tier or the $10 Holla All Access tier, which gives you everything we got on the Patreon, you will get 25% off your first order on the Barber's Chair Network shop. That is the bcnetshop.com. Go grab you a t-shirt, mug, hoodie, hat, whatever you need to do, from Barber's Chair, all your favorite shows, and get in tune with everything we are doing. And if you're a Bears fan, man, we just had OTAs, man. Cop you our Caleb Williams / Game of Thrones inspired prince that was promised to you up on the site right now, man. So we've got a packed show for y'all today. The homie Cass, of course, we all know, friend of the program, co-host of Carmel Anthony's 7 p.m. Brooklyn podcast, be joining us in about 10 minutes here on the show. Dante will be joining us live from Truist Park as Ronald Acuña Jr. makes his return to the Atlanta Braves sometime in this hour. And yeah, got a lot of stuff to talk about, man. But right now, I'm going to bring in my co-host, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. J.R. Bang. You can follow Bang at J.R. Bang on all social media platforms. Get in tune with First Black Champ and some dude up on the network, man. I see Mike B out in L.A. living it up, doing his thing.
Yeah, we had graduations to deal with and that thing, birthdays and everything to deal with this week. So we'll be back. I'm watching the last episode of Around the Horn. It was funny because they had Bob Ryan on there and they spelled debut wrong for his joint. But J.A. Adonde is on there right now. They spelled it right. But nah, we out here. You know what I'm saying? It's still a birthday week. For me, and then, you know, Path, happy birthday to Path yesterday too. So yeah, we keeping it going.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Path. Path is out there living it up in London with the lads. I don't know if you saw his Instagram story. I don't know, one of the, I'm not gonna blow a spot up, but somebody got him a cake, and this nigga just, I was like, I text him like, you don't know how to accept good things. Like, he just had a weird look on his face. Like, accept when people do good things for you, nigga. Like, but yeah, happy birthday.
That's the Gemini in us, fam. That's the Gemini in us. We don't know how to accept good things.
Because I've met a lot of Geminis who have, like, and of course, y'all got two sides.
My wife, like, that's true. My wife, that's true. Yeah,
we like, he was just like, thank you. We're not good gift acceptors. How was your birthday? What did you do to celebrate?
I chilled out with the wife. Like, when your birthday is on Wednesday, it's like middle of the week. Like,
yeah, not that much to do.
Right? Like, it ain't that much to do, but it's the see, baby, I am recording. I hope y'all ain't hear that.
I didn't hear it, so you good.
Thank you. But we got the weekend, you know what I'm saying? This was a short day today. For work, and then we off Monday, so I'll probably be drunk this weekend.
I'm extending the mandatory, and you can come over my crib and get a plate invite. And I know you probably won't be in the city, but I'm probably gonna
be doing that this week. Like,
yeah,
so. But so I'm extending it
to everybody. I text a couple people. It's not like a big thing because I don't really do big things. I'm just going to be grilling and getting drunk on my patio. That's all I plan on doing. But, yeah, so we won't have a show on Monday. We'll be no show on Monday. I'll be back Wednesday for the midweek joint. Didn't do one this. Actually, no, I won't be back Wednesday for the midweek joint. I'll be at Bears OTAs. See, there won't be a midweek or summer sessions for a couple weeks because of traffic. So, blame the Bears for that because we had OTAs this week. We got OTAs again next week, and then the week after that, we got mandatory mini camp before the team goes on their little 6-week hiatus. You know what I'm saying? Before they get to go to training camp and get everything like that. And we'll break that down later on in the show. I've got some things I want to talk about. I was kind of excited, even though it's OTAs. I wasn't excited what I saw on the field. I was excited about Ben Johnson. Like, I like that guy, and the guy who said, I don't know if you saw the video. And the guy who said, I love this guy, was my guy, Mark Silverman from Waddle and Sylvie. That was Sylvie.
Okay, I was going to ask who that was.
That was Sylvie. I'm not blowing Sylvie's spot up because he tweeted it out himself. But that was Sylvie. And he's like, I love this guy. Very, very rainy practice. So they had us in the Walter Payton Center, man. So, yeah. You know, StreamYard got a new thing. We can show comments on the stage. And I would do that with some of y'all comments. Y'all be wilding. So I'll be having to filter some of these joints out. But while we're waiting for our guests, let's talk about, since we're not going to have summer sessions in the next couple weeks because of Bears practice, can we talk about this Diddy trial? I feel like this week has gotten real wild. I feel like last week was all the Cassie, the Cassie testimony. This week we heard from Dawn, from Danity Kane. I thought her name was Don Richards. Come to find out it was Don Richard, but whatever.
It's Don Richard, fam.
I thought it was Don Richards when she was on Danity Kane. I watched every season of Making a Band. It was Don Richards. She can't fool nobody. She must have changed that like she changed the face. Because she ain't fool nobody. I watched that show faithfully. The Danity Kane seasons, the band seasons, and the Day 26 seasons. So she must have changed that.
Even though I remember. I don't remember what they call. I just knew her as the little dark skinned girl with the nose.
Who was dating Q, the crying nigga?
Yeah, who was dating Q? That was their love story.
He said Orlando. Yeah, let's see if Q. Yeah, can we talk about this Keeping the Hip Hop thing, man? Like, I saw a couple people say that. I saw everything Young Thug has done since he got out of jail has just not been productive to him. Like, which I predicted, by the way. Like, talking about stop snitching. Like, if a nigga blow my car, I'm finna be pointing on the stand. Like, yes, Kid that Cudi's, guy.
Who was that? Lil Sean, Behind the Smoke, X on Instagram. If Kid Cudi was a different rapper, we would be having the stop snitching conversation. Kid Cudi is not that rapper. You blow my car up. Kid Cudi is not the Cleveland dude that's going to blow up your car. No, he's telling. What did y'all, come on, fam.
First of all, I always tell everybody in my family, all my loved ones, I've even told my mother this, the woman who brought me birth, there's not a nigga on this earth who I will not snitch on to do not even 5 minutes of jail.
Right.
Like, I, when I was in eighth grade, this is a messed up eighth grade trip. Well, they took us to Cook County. They took us to Cook County. You know what I'm saying? They took us to Cook County for our eighth grade graduation trip. Terrible trip. And I guess it was trying to, like, to put us, to scare us.
Hold on. You went to Cook County Jail for your eighth grade graduation trip?
Eighth grade graduation trip. The name of the school now is Lionel Hampton. But when I was there, it was called New Dawes. Because there's another grammar school called Dawes. But they built a newer one. It says while they're waiting to name the school, they call it the New Dawes. This was 2003. This is May 2003. I graduated in May 2003. Y'all heard the story about my graduation where because of my graduation, I still hate Nas because they played. We had to sing I Know I Can. And then we performed three songs at that eighth grade graduation. I Knew I Can by Nas, Ashanti Dreams, and R. Kelly, The World's Greatest. Those are the three songs we performed at our eighth grade. Yes. Very well. So, yeah, they took us to they didn't take us to, like, Hollywood Park, any place you could take eighth graders for a trip to congratulate you for graduating and getting ready to go to high school. These niggas took us to Cook County Jail. And obviously didn't scare anybody because half the people I graduated with went there, like actually did time. I was in there. I knew there's not a person who breathes I wouldn't snitch on to do any time in there. So that's what it was. Yeah, it was a terrible trip. I don't even remember what my school. Do we have a high school thing? I don't think Kiri took us anywhere. Kiri just gave us like a banquet, like a graduation banquet at Navy Pier. That's what we was on a boat in Navy Pier. That was pretty good. Shout out to Curie for that. But yeah, that's where I was. But I was saying all that to say this. The Diddy thing is wild, man. And we're about to bring our guest in right now, man. So
yeah. You got to finish this story about why your eighth grade trip was to a jail.
Yeah, well, we're gonna talk about that.
I'm confused.
I don't know exactly why.
Y'all ain't go to Rainbow, nigga. Like, no, nigga. Y'all ain't go to the skate rink.
We went to Cook County Jail,
Markham,
for our eighth grade trip. Over there, out. Yes, exactly. But we're gonna bring in our first guest, man. He is a friend of the program, man. Of course, you know this guy. He is a man of many hats. He is, you know, does everything in wrestling, Knicks, everything. But he is also the co-host of the 7 p.m. and Brooklyn podcast with Hall of Famer Carmelo Anthony. Man, bring in our guy Kazeem Fezadume, aka Kaz. Welcome back to the
show, brother. that was a horrible attempt at the last name, but I respect it, man.
I was trying. I didn't want to mess it up. My bad.
I appreciate it, though, man. It's always good to see y'all. It's always good to pull up. Hey, look, what's up?
The best basketball or basketball-related podcast or show there is. Y'all don't be yelling at each other.
Thank you.
Melo, seeing calm Melo in this form of Melo, it's so cool. Everybody bounce off of each other. I ain't know that you was coming on until today, so I just want to get that out the way before I ask anything wrestling related to say. Y'all got the best basketball related show out there right now.
First of all,
I appreciate that, JR. Thank you, bro.
Bang makes me say like I'm a bad like a producer. I texted you yesterday that he was coming on the show, but it's all good.
Coming
all
off good. Of day after my birthday, Scott. I want
to okay.
Shit.
I give you a pass. I was about to say,
he must have not been
I give you a pass.
I was barons.
but Cass, man, how you feeling, brother?
I'm feeling good, man. It's the weekend. Obviously, big game tonight here in New York. You can feel the energy sort of shift in the city from game one to game two, from excitement and, you know, euphoria to like cautious optimism and just like, all right, that was crazy. But you know what? Like, we still believe in the squad, still believe in the team. It's been raining here the past couple of days, so it's kind of tempered down like the outsideness of everybody that I think we got in the first two rounds. So just to give you a little vibe check of what it's like out here in New York, New Jersey area before the big game two tonight in the Garden. But you know, doing all right. 7 p.m. in Brooklyn is doing its thing, and I think I'm very confident in my Knicks tonight to even up the series, despite how heartbreaking the way that game ended.
Yeah, we definitely about to get into the Knicks. I wanted to ask you first because I know when you were on here last time, you said you had a big move coming, and we didn't know that it was going to be this. So you've been doing this for 6-8 months now, I'll probably say maybe longer. Just tell me, how's the experience been? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, to have a guy like Carmelo Anthony, and also big shout out to Mero, Rudy Gay, everybody, Monica McNutt that you guys have on the show. I think it's a real nice balanced crew that you guys got. Just tell me how the whole experience has been, especially you being a lifelong Knick fan and being able to do this show with Melo.
Man, personally speaking, I always tell people I got to pinch myself every episode that I can't believe I'm sitting in between these conversations of athletes that I've followed most of my adult life, right? Like Carmelo Anthony is, you know, it's no secret how big of a fan I am of the Knicks, and Melo is a big part of that. And even before that, you know, I was, I think, a freshman. I was a sophomore in high school during Melo's freshman run at Syracuse, right? So it was like really growing up and watching this guy's career. And now, of all years to join the podcast, it would have been incredible to be part of the podcast at any point in time of my life or career. But it's the year that he's going into the Hall of Fame, and he's, and his son is joining the Syracuse Orange. And, you know, it's never lost on me how fortunate I am to be a part of the show. The guys who put it together, TD, EJ Wright, Pierce Simpson, a bunch of the dudes behind the scenes that don't get all the name recognition as the superstars that are all the co-hosts. But they do such an incredible job putting that show together. And obviously, it's all led by, you know, Melo's demeanor, Melo's openness to talk about everything and just be a great podcast host. You know what I mean? Like, I think as great as Rudy, Monica, and Mero and myself are, this thing doesn't go as far without the type of personality Melo is. And I'm glad everybody's starting to see that as the weeks go by, because I think of a lot of the athletes that we grew up watching, he gets probably one of the worst raps I've seen, just as far as like the type of person he was, what he stood for. So being able to hear his take, unfiltered or not, you could agree with it or not, it's him at the end of the day. And I'm just real fortunate to be, you know, sort of one of the vessels to help tell so many of his incredible Hall of Fame stories.
Yeah, definitely. I think was the best about it. You can just tell that Melo, that's just his personality. He's, you know, real calm and, you know, cool. I met Melo like when I was covering a clip. He's on the Lakers. Like, it wasn't like a big conversation. I was like, oh shit, it's coming up. They're like, what up? And he said, I had to be back. But now, I've been on a Melo front line since he got robbed Rookie of the Year. I've been on the front lines saying that, man. But let's get to the Knicks. We've been hating on this show. I'm just going to keep it real. We are jealous Chicago sports fans. We have been hating on this show. I see
it's why I came extra New York adjacent today, too. I was like, I got to make sure they know exactly who's calling in today.
Yeah, like, I've been watching Last Dance again. Like, please, I had a good childhood. I want it again. But our ownership don't care. But what has it been like watching this run? I think when you guys got Karl Anthony Towns at the beginning of the year, I know we said on this show that this is a team that could go to the finals, but the regular season was a little rocky to the point where I was like, I don't know. You know, Detroit, we did a whole thing about Detroit and their crowds that Knicks fans were not happy about in my TikTok mentions. That we were like, oh, I think it's going to be which it was a long series, but how are you appreciating this run? Where to the fact where there's no LeBron in your way, there's no Jokic, and there's no like real big three. Took out the Celtics. Just how's this run been for you?
It feels great, honestly. I mean, you know, we've known each other for a long time, Scott and JR, and I think, you know, either through personal interactions or just on social media, how hard it's been being a Knicks fan for the past couple of decades, right?
Definitely.
But this year, I'll tell you, man, like, this is going to sound a little arrogant or a lot of chest puffing or whatever, but if you're asking me at the point of that trade, would you be surprised that the Knicks are in the Eastern Conference Finals? I would say no. I say once they made that trade for Karl Anthony Towns and locked in with OG, because there was still some trepidation about him, you know, returning to the team, how much he was going to be worth, and of course, if he was going to stay healthy. But if you would have told me in the beginning of the year, you're going to sign Karl Anthony Towns, OG's going to play, have a pretty healthy season, and he got another year of Jalen Brunson, I'm like, they should be in the conference finals. Now, the regular season, it's why all those Celtics and Cavs games are so frustrating, right? Because you put a team together legitimately to beat these teams. Not so much Cleveland, because I think they surprised people a little bit as far as being like the top team in the Eastern Conference, but definitely the Celtics. You put a team like the Knicks together specifically to beat them, especially when you get Karl-Anthony Towns to go up against a guy like Kristaps Porzingis, and of course the wings to match Brown and Tatum. So every one of those regular season games hurt like hell, but by the third and fourth ones, it felt very much like that giant season against the New England Patriots. So the Patriots was undefeated and they was getting dog walked by the Patriots every single week. But that last week 17 game against the Giants, they showed that, like, yo, they bleed, right? And that's kind of the same thing that the Knicks did in the last regular season game against the Celtics. They took them to overtime and basically showed, like, yo, these guys bleed. And I think as it came out in the playoffs and as the matchups happened, obviously you got to be fortunate with the way that things went and the way the ball bounced in the first two games, but you couldn't, you know, I'm not terribly surprised that the New York Knicks are where they are right now. They've been building towards this since 2019, since really when Julius Randle came to the franchise and they started to really have a sustained amount of playoff success that you kind of see from the contending teams. Knock on the door a little bit, and then eventually the door sort of knocks down. So obviously, getting out of the second round was a big thing with the Knicks, and I felt like once they got past that and you look up and you don't see any real juggernauts left except over in the Western Conference, you feel really good about it. So I'm enjoying it, and more than enjoying it, knowing that this is the first year of this crew and this core that they're going to get multiple cracks at it with this nucleus. And, you know, unfortunately, the Jason Tatum injury really opens up the Eastern Conference next year as well. So not only am I enjoying this run, but it makes me feel like, all right, if God forbid they don't get it this year, you think within the next three or four, they take one of them, especially when you got Jalen Brunson running point, Karl-Anthony Towns playing the way he is, and just the overall rise of that team. So I couldn't be happier and prouder of those guys, man. It's so much fun to watch.
Definitely, man. Let's talk about game two, man. Game one, you guys got another villain here, man, and Tyrese Halliburton. As soon as I saw this picture right here, I was like, he's thirsty. Like, I knew exactly. Like, I fell asleep. I just came back from doing OTAs for the Bears, football season mm-hmm. started. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, the Knicks got this. Stay up like 20. I'm going to sleep. So I woke up and I was like, I know that they don't say it's a tie game. So for him to come back, I immediately knew his foot was on the line. So I was like, I don't know, he's doing too much. But that was it was one of those games where I feel like the Knicks played a really good game up until that 4 minute span. Is it any nightmares about, like, I feel like this Pacers-Knicks rivalry has been going on for 30 years. You know, last time you guys were in the conference finals was against this team, and then last year having that long seven-game semifinal series. What's it been like going against this guy, Tyrese Halliburton, and he's kind of giving Knicks fans some reminders of a former Pacer and Reggie Miller?
All I can say is a worthy adversary. That's a worthy adversary right there, Tyrese Halliburton. I can't even, like, you know, there's like an inherent hate for Trae Young, right? Like, I think it's the hair. I don't know what it is about Trae, but he's just very unlikable. And I think it's more than Knicks fans at this point, right? Like, he doesn't really get voted in All-Star games. Doesn't really get voted into, like, player games. So, like, it's not just us, right? Like, but Halliburton, I kind of have more respect for him as a Knicks villain just because of the way he sort of carries himself, the way he plays the game. Lowest of keys, like, even his story, where it's basically like folks saying he's the most overrated player in the league and the run he's going on now, and just the style of play of the Indiana Pacers, I got to respect, right? Like, take away the way the game ended, that's a great game of basketball that we're watching. Like, it's back and forth, great shot making, like, ethical hoops. You talk about ethical hoops over here. I don't mind losing to a team due to ethical hooping, right? The reason why I didn't like the Celtics and didn't like the Pistons is because it wasn't like they're trying to beat the Knicks. It was trying to game the system, like hack a Mitch and just doing all these weird things with Brunson and just the weird sort of like tricks of the trade that shows you can't out-talent them. The Pacers have shown that they can out-talent you. And Tyrese Halliburton, the way he carries himself, and even honestly, I wasn't even mad at the choke. I'm like, yo, you hit a shot like that, you come back that from a lead that big, and you get the basketball guys to shine upon you that day to drop the ball right over the back rim like that after such a miss. you can do whatever you want. So all that being said, I'm glad it was game one and not like game five or something. If it was like game five or six, I'd be sick to my stomach. I'd be like, there's no way they could mentally come back from this. But the one strength of this Knicks team is that they have mentally bounced back from so many gut-wrenching losses over the season. And even in these playoffs, that, you know, you have faith that they'll at least bounce back and get the split tonight. Having Jalen Brunson on your team, if you roll the ball out and tell me the odds and say, yo, you're going to be up 14 points with 3 minutes left and Jalen Brunson has the ball, I'm taking those odds again every single time. Like, I don't expect Jalen Brunson to have another 7-turnover game. I don't expect Jalen Brunson to have another 5 fouls game. As long as that dude is on the court and the Knicks have a lead and Jalen Brunson doesn't have to Olay defenses just to avoid getting his 6th foul and all that stuff, and just seeing how careful he's been with the ball, he's the clutch player of the year, not just because he makes big shots in crunch time, but he almost never makes a mistake with the ball in the fourth quarter. So all that being said, if it took a miracle bounce with a foot on the line and Aaron Nesmith shooting for the game of his life in overtime to take an L, that's the type of L you take. You still go into the game too confident, and I'm confident that the Knicks feel the same way. So we'll see how it goes, man. It's going to be a long series.
So it's going to be a long series in this one, as I'm calling the YNECF, the Young Nigga Eastern Conference Finals. The Young Nigga Conference Finals. But where are you, as a Knicks fan, feeling about the finals? Like, if you had to put a percentage on it, now that y'all in the Final Four, what percentage number would you put on your Knicks finally doing something that they have not done since any of us has been alive or even thought about?
Now, you talk about getting to the finals or winning the NBA championship?
No, winning it. I want to know how you feel about the chances of winning it.
I'll go on the safe side and say right now the Knicks have about I give them a 30% chance of winning it all, right?
Are we going to Steiner math it?
I'm a Steiner math it. They got 30% chance of winning at the conference finals, because you bring in the Minnesota Timberwolves and you love Anthony Edwards, but, you know, you'd slice his chances in half because they went down two. And then you add the Oklahoma City Thunder to the mix. That gives the Knicks a 33rd and a third chance. And, you know what I mean, the Minnesota Timberwolves have a 7.13% chance of winning.
Got the full map.
Oklahoma City Thunder, the Indiana Pacers, the way they go. Nah, but I'll say this, man. The Knicks, I do think right now, have the best shot at winning an NBA championship than they have in my entire adult life. I think they have the health, which is big. They have the coaching. They have the guard, the temperament of the team to do it. And outside of, I don't see any team that the Knicks should fear left in the NBA, whether it's the Timberwolves or the Thunder. Now, the Thunder have looked unbelievable in the Western Conference Finals. But at the end of the day, they did what they had to do. They won 2 home games at their home court. We'll see what Minnesota does. But just judging from that, they look like a steamroller right now. Like, I don't know. Indiana or New York comes out, they're going to have a tough time against the Oklahoma City Thunder. But I say it to say this. This New York Knicks team is so mentally strong, mentally tough, has been through the ringer. And on top of that, I think one thing that we're really not, paying much attention to or really giving great credence to is how great of a road team the New York Knicks are. They go on the road and perform just as well as any team out there. And even in these playoffs, all of their huge wins this postseason have been on the road. So dropping game one doesn't necessarily shake my entire faith that the Knicks can get to the conference finals and possibly win it. To the NBA finals to possibly win it. But I do think it's going to be I keep it tall, man. I kind of think there's a little something to being away from the Garden and just hooping, because it does become a lot here. I'm not going to hold you. Like, as the show says, like, it does become a lot here. Like, yeah, it is. You got Chalamet over here. You got Ben Stiller over there. You got every rapper. You got every football player on both teams, and they're not even in the good seats. Like, this is just to get into the joint. You got presidents coming through. It is a lot, right? But I would say, you know, for being in there every day, I think it prepares them to go on the road and not have to deal with all the extra stuff and just lock in. And there's something about that them against the world mentality that I like better, honestly, than being home in the Garden. It almost seems like they could be a there's pressure playing here, man. Like, you got streets getting named after you after two series wins. It's a lot when it comes to playing here in the Garden. And granted, they have Rose City occasion on more than, you know, one occasion, but I do think there's something to this Knicks on the road that truly separates them from the rest of contenders. They're the one, I think they're the most dangerous road team left in this conference playoff. So them against anybody, I like my money on them, especially with JB with the ball.
All right, well, enough about the Knicks, because I'm still hating at the fact that I
got the Knicks. But JB's a Chicago guy. Y'all should love him. That's it. Y'all should claim him a little bit.
He's a little bit of Chicago.
I got a rule. Lincolnshire. Yeah, you know, we asked what high school you went to, like, it's a game. Like, if you didn't go to Chicago public school, like, we give D-Wade a pass because he grew up on the south side. He just went to a summer school. It's a little further away from the city.
He went to Stevenson. The fact that the name of the city you're from is Lincolnshire tells you enough, all right? Yeah. Lincolnshire sounds like money.
I'll tell you this.
All right, so I'm gonna ask you what Chicago folks. I'm gonna ask you what Chicago folks. This is kind of blasphemous. But Jalen Brunson wins an NBA title this year. Does he get a statue in Chicago before D Rose?
No, but we claim him. Hell no, but we're claiming.
Look, we'd be like, he's Kevin Garnett, and he played here for 1 year.
Kevin Garnett claims us. He thanked travelers in his Hall of Fame speech. I've never heard of anybody thanking a gang in their speech. If nobody knew it, my bad. Talk wrestling real quick. First of all, last time I saw you was when you was out here for Fourth Rope. Seeing everything that's going on with that, seeing you on the commentary team and stuff. Like, I was talking to one of the homies who I told to go to the Atlanta joint, and was like, yo, this is the culture in wrestling in a way that I've never seen it. But then also seeing a lot more of the culture in some way, shape, or form, and some of what we watch on TV, but speaking directly about Fourth Rope and what West Side Gunn and Smoke Dizzy and company have done. Like, tell us about your experience with that and what you've liked seeing from what they've been doing and bringing the culture and wrestling together.
Man, shout out to Dizza, Gunn, and Tavia, and everybody behind the scenes. Anthem, everybody out there for Fourth Rope. It's exactly what you told your friend. It's definitely the culture in a way that's never really been produced as far as wrestling shows are concerned, man. Like, I'll be honest, when Dizza and Gunn asked me to do commentary for the first show, I didn't really know what to expect. I was just like, all right, like, those are my guys. Like, whatever y'all need, I got you. Like, they've had me for anything for as long as I've been in this wrestling joint. And when they asked me, I was honored. And when I walked into the Atlanta spot, I went to the Chicago show, I was just blown away from the production value. And, like, I walked in and I just going through, like, the pre-show, I was like, I felt like I was back at WWE again. I was like, this is exactly how a lot of, you know, the big league sort of, like, put shows together. And it was just exciting, you know. And doing wrestling commentary is something I've had my heart on for a long time. Like, I was like, you know, I feel like if I really get a grasp of how to do this really well, I could do this at a very high level. And I was like, this is a great opportunity to sort of continue that. And I think after that first show, we caught such a buzz from so many companies and people that wanted to, you know, bankroll it and keep it popping. And obviously the wrestlers got so much love off of it. And of course, West Side Gunn and, Griselda and everybody, like, they've been just about it, man. Like, it's not a front for them, you know, like, they absolutely believe that they can carve out their own special, you know, area in the wrestling landscape, and they have done it. Done about four shows for them now. The last one we did was in Las Vegas, and my co-commentators were Ernest the Cat Miller and David Atunga, and I think we had such a blast doing that together. And it's what's really fun about Fourth Rope is that, like, right now wrestling is in such a weird sort of forbidden door space where folks could sort of come and go as they please. And it's like, man, that fourth rope show had people from WWE, AEW, TNA, Ring of Honor, Stardom, like everybody, like every company is represented through this thing. So it's like, now we've built this space within the wrestling culture that everybody could walk through that door. So that makes it really exciting. So, I mean, we started the show with the Hurt Syndicate, you know what I mean, coming out with West Side Gun, and we ended it with Booker T sending out his guys from Reality of Wrestling. And in the middle of that, we had stars from AEW and TNA and Ring of Honor. And it's like, there's only a handful of people really doing that. Really, nobody doing it the way we do it. So it's so much fun to watch it grow. And without giving too much away, there's a lot more room for growth. And I think we'll see. You're going to see a lot of big things for Fourth Rope in the next couple of years. Promise you that.
No, that Zilla Fatu Booker T thing going from Reality to Wrestling to over here was crazy. Last question I got for you, man. Tomorrow, we got a big one that's going on. Tomorrow, pay-per-view, WWE. Like, what do you see going on tomorrow?
I mean, Saturday night's main event, we got Jey Uso versus Logan Paul, like the first real big Jey Uso world title defense. And I think Logan Paul is just popular and just good enough as a wrestler for people to believe, like, yo, this guy could actually win the title. And it could be a quick reign for Jey Uso. But, you know, there's also a lot of money to be made in establishing Jey Uso as a real main event guy. So I think it's going to be a hell of a battle. But I got Jey Uso retaining. And then, you know, you got the big tag team match between Sami Zayn, CM Punk versus Seth Rollins or Braun Breaker. Still not really sure what to think about the Seth Rollins, Braun Breaker, Paul Heyman sort of collective. But on the other side, you got two of the most personality intriguing wrestlers there is in CM Punk and Sami Zayn. And I feel like one of those guys is going to factor in to what we think of this Braun Breaker, Seth Rollins, Paul Heyman sort of thing, right? Like, there's no real, what's the word I'm looking for? There's no real mental compass in that group. And both CM Punk and Sami Zayn are very big on their morals. So I think however that match ends, we're going to see how that sort of goes forward. And then, yeah, man, we got some really great wrestling tomorrow night. I mean, what else? Double or Nothing is tomorrow night also for AEW.
Yeah, but for tomorrow, I just hope that we don't. I the latest episode of First Black Champions, The Fix is in. I am praying to God that the wrestling thought in me, the wrestling thinker in me, does not see a Cody Rhodes cost John Cena the match. We get R-Truth winning by disqualification, which means at Money in the Bank, we get some finesse that shows R-Truth getting a title shot. I don't, as much as I like R-Truth, don't get me wrong, I love R-Truth.
I don't know, man. I was talking about this on the podcast, and I was like, yo, R-Truth, the John Cena heel turn has kind of been
mid.
And it's like, yo, R-Truth is sort of the perfect guy for John Cena to really get some real heat on. So I'm with you on like the Cody cost John Cena the match thing, but at the other side, I'm like, yo, we haven't really seen John Cena get like vicious heel yet. And it, like, not having a title on the line, that's a perfect opportunity for John Cena to just murder this man, for folks to be like, all right, now we really don't like John Cena. Now we really have a reason to not like John Cena. We can still get the Cody save afterwards, but like, I think they have to establish that John Cena is an evil person now. Like, R-Truth is the perfect, everybody loves R-Truth guy to sort of take this sort of ass whooping that I think he got coming to him. And then, you know, we see where it goes from there. I'm hearing rumors of Logan Paul, Travis Scott, and John Cena versus Cody Rhodes and the Usos at Money in the Bank, which I ain't gonna hold you. I want to see it. I want to see Travis Scott get in the ring. I want to see what the hell is going on. Yeah, brother. I want to see him eat some super kicks. I want to see him get.
Okay, there we go. Okay.
I want to see when he's trapped in that ring with three pros and he gets that receipt. that he's got coming to him from Elimination Chamber, because you know he's going to take a few spine busters, take a few power slams. Like, I got to see this man get messed up. As much as that dude, as much as we've seen that dude throw mosh pits and incite violence at a lot of his live shows, good money will be paid to watch that man get his ass kicked in Los Angeles. So I hope that's where we're going to.
Hey, look, as long as Cody Rhodes is standing over R-Truth like Sylvester Stallone was standing over Apollo Creed, I'm happy. I'm happy.
That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm hoping for. We'll see.
Kaz, we're going to get you out of here. I just want to say, I know it's Knicks Yankee season. I know football season is wild away. I know you're a Jets fan. I'm just going to say, from experience, accept the highs with Justin Fields and accept the lows that come with Justin Fields. It's a roller coaster.
He's got Garrett Wilson now, though, man. Like, yeah, something goes going to work. They're going to make it work, man. I think that's something to that.
I am rooting for Justin. But y'all,
thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that, brother. But no, Scott, JR, thank you for having me. I always love coming to chat with y'all boys. You know, I got so much love for Chicago and everybody over there. So, and I'm just so proud of everything that y'all always built over the years. So anytime I need me on, you know, I'll always pull up.
Thank you, bro. Let them know they can follow you so they can tune everything you're doing.
Yes, sir. You can follow me at Kazim on all social platforms, Instagram, X, TikTok, at Kazim. Follow me, we they. Please subscribe to 7 p.m. in Brooklyn on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. Brand new episode out right now with Amari Stoudemire. I break some news right here. Ha, ha, ha. Next week, special guest on 7 p.m. in Brooklyn, New York Giants quarterback Russell Wilson.
And it's a
great conversation. Yeah. So it's a great combo. So when y'all see that, trust me, it's gonna be a lot of talking about that after that combo. Okay. So check that out. Check me out on the Ringer Wrestling Show, Masked Man Podcast, Mondays and Thursdays, and my podcast, Say Less with Kaz, Loki, and Rosie. I'll be around in summertime. And thank y'all for everything. Thanks for always having me on these things, man. I appreciate
you. Thank you for joining us, bro. We're gonna holler at you, bro.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good one. Take it easy. Enjoy the weekend.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, man. Well, let's get into our baseball coverage here. Well, not really baseball. We just bringing this nigga in. Hey, what's going on, nigga?
What's up with y'all, boys? Y'all good?
We got Dante here, man. You can follow Dante at October Zone Tay on Twitter, man. He is the host of our new and fire baseball podcast, Hi Now Side, episode 7. Is out right now on all of our platforms with Courtney, with the whole crew, man. You guys talk about a whole bunch of stuff today, man. So how you feeling? You and Truist, man. One of my favorite players is back. How's the feeling out there?
It's good, bro. A lot of the fans are excited. I mean, you know, it's baseball, so I can't really say the team is hype, but Ronnie was out there pregame hitting bombs, you know. So this is something they definitely need. They've been real mediocre on offense. So he back in the lineup, hitting leadoff. And I'm excited, bro. I think this is something that can really push this team to the level they need to be so they can catch up with Philadelphia and the Mets.
Definitely. Y'all can go to our Twitter page right now and our Instagram at Barber's Chair Code. Dante has a pregame video up. And he's going to have a post-game recap, y'all, whatever. So check all that out, man. But let's talk about some basketball. I know you got bounced like 15 minutes. I know the game's about to start. So let's start what we saw last night, man. Game two of the Western Conference Finals. The Oklahoma City Thunder won 118-103. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was named the third MVP in Oklahoma City Thunder history. Yes. The Thunder have more MVPs than the beloved Chicago Bulls. he led the way for his team last night with 38 points, 8 assists, went 13 of 15 from the free throw line, man. Good, solid game for SGA. I got to say, I love that they named the MVP award after Michael Jordan, but, man, that's an ugly trophy. Now, we know for copyright reasons they can't use the Jumpman. But that's enough. You make the trophy Mike Cutson out Scott Burrell or something. Like
they could do a fadeaway.
Right.
Yeah, right. The fadeaway. Yeah. He said Bobby Cox rolling over his grave. We saw Ronnie's pink purse. That's funny. But anyway, man, they are up 2-0 in this series. Just my thoughts on this series, man. I did pick the Thunder to win this one in six games. But this one feels like a gentleman. This feels like a gentleman sweep to me. They have just been all over the place defensively. Like, we already know what this team can do offensively. And that was one of the things that annoyed me coming into this playoffs, with so many people, so many outlets saying, well, who's going to be the second scorer? I'm like, put some respect on Slim from Cash Money Face, Jalen Williams, and his ability to go out there and get buckets. Like, put some respect on him. They got a deep team. Mark Dagenau, their coach, even though he was coach of the year last year, I feel like he's underrated. And everybody was wondering, oh, you got to lose first. I'm like, they lost last year. Them losing to Luka and Kyrie in the Western Conference final, in the Western Conference semifinals, was their prepare series. And I always felt they just got past Denver, that this will be it. And they've just been dominant these first two games, man, and really just completely taking Minnesota out their game in the fourth quarter. It's just been a game that has just – they've been able to take over, because the first three quarters you've seen, they've been close. Minnesota's even had a little bit of a lead coming into these – coming into the fourth quarter. And the fourth quarter has just been straight-up domination. Yesterday you saw Chet Holmgren get into some of the action. And I do believe, like, you'll see a different Minnesota tomorrow night and Monday in – Minneapolis, but at the same time, I feel like there's only so many things that you can change with this team. And defensively, they kind of remind me of the mid-2000s Pistons. Like, everybody can guard. And outside of everybody can guard, everybody can get their own basket, which really makes them difficult. I think you're going to need a massive Anthony Edwards game that he hasn't had yet. And Julius Randle is seeing what it's like going up against people that can defend you. We've had more defense on compared to the first two rounds. And Rudy Gobert, this is why I've been my Rudy Gobert hate train. I've never seen a more worthless four-time defensive player of the year in my life. Like, he gets played off the court so many times. And so that's going to be the issue. I think that the Wolves will win game three, but I also feel that they're going to lose game four and game five, because I haven't seen the Thunder lose two games in a row this series. And I'll say this before I give it to Dante. Enough of the Monday morning quarterbacking. What Shai is doing is amazing. It's been incredible. He's been doing his thing. But too many – oh, it's the dumbest trade ever. Look, man, we got to go back to 6 years ago with Kawhi Leonard coming off his championship and being healthy Kawhi Leonard. And he's like, oh, I want to go play in Los Angeles. This is a year after LeBron decided to play in Los Angeles. You're L.A., and he tells you, all I want you to do is get Paul George. You still do that trade. Like, it was a good long-term deal for Oklahoma City Thunder, but I think anybody calls it a dumb trade is just looking at it now compared to how they're looking at it then. Dante, give me your thoughts on this series and, you know, how you got everything going these next couple games.
I don't want to count the T-Wolves out yet, but, I mean, I think it's one of those situations where, like we said, we always wait for those young teams, those young talented teams to get over that hump and to pass that, you know, big test. And beating a team like Denver going to seven games, that might be just what they needed to put the battery in their back. Like, yeah, we can really beat anybody. We can't fuck with us. It's one thing to do it in the regular season, but to come into postseason and play the way they play, like you said, come over and you beat the, you know, team that's won a championship in the past 3 years. You beat them, and now, you know, another young team. They really running through them, like you said. They've been everywhere defensively. Shai has been MVP. You know, he was up and down in that Denver series, so he's really done his thing so far. It needs to. I don't think it's from the panic yet, because like we always say, until the home team loses a game, you know, then it's like, okay, let's see what's up to it. And so they pretty much taking care of business. But from what I've seen, it might be tough for anybody to beat them. I'm not going to lie.
Bang, man, tell us, what's your thoughts been on this series, man?
Man, Oklahoma City just looks like the dominant team, and the Timberwolves just look like the team that just simply don't have enough. They don't even look tired to me. It looks like they're spooked. It looked like game one, they got smacked up. They thought they were going to come in and be the bully. They got smacked up, and now they can no longer be the bully. I think Minnesota gets, like, the one thing about a dog is that if you slap it around enough, they're going to turn into a bitch. That's what the Minnesota Timberwolves are starting to look like. I've said on these last couple of episodes that they're dogs. But then that game, they came out and they just got bitch slapped. So now they don't look like they have the heart. I would not be surprised if this is a sweep because of that reason. Maybe they go to Minnesota and maybe they get their energy back. But they do not look like they have the mental capacity to get this thing back. So if they don't win game three, of course, this is over. But I'm just shocked to see the way that they are moving. They don't seem to have that same hunger.
Yeah, it definitely feels like they look tired a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to use the tire excuse. Oh, they're tired. But it looked like they got the wind knocked out of them. And it really feels like, to me, we said multiple times in that Denver series, I think it was like game four when OKC was down 2-1, I think it was. And then even in game seven, we like, these were grow-up games. No, it wasn't game four. It was game five. It was game five. Game five and game seven, like, these were turn-the-corner games where you could really see the growth from this team. And now they got a leader in Shea who, this man is very cool under pressure. You know what I'm saying? I don't favor many Canadians right now, but I like Shea. I like Shea. And he goes out there and he shows what exactly you need. And this is something, too. You know, we were just talking to Kaz about the Knicks' chances. If you're Oklahoma City Thunder fan, I'm not talking about people who, oh, well, if you look in their history, the Sonics won. No. To me, that's like counting the Browns' history when you're talking about the Ravens, because the Ravens are the Browns. You know what I'm saying? Like, the current Browns are the new Browns, for those of you who don't remember. So, to me, it's two different things. And now, if you look at all the, I don't want to say trauma from the KD Russ thing, because it was a great era, but they just kept running into the wrong teams. You know, they ran into the Miami Heat, the Heatles, when LeBron trying to get his first championship. You ran into the San Antonio Spurs getting their final championship. You ran into the Golden State Warriors dynasty and had them niggas on the ropes. I'll never forget game six in OKC when they were up 3-1 and Clay just went crazy. Now it feels like, okay, this is our chance. This is our chance to get this championship, and you knocked out the best player in the league in Nikola Jokic in the last round. Now it just feels like there's nothing else in the way for them unless somebody gets hurt. I don't see anybody stopping this team, man. And so it's got to be an exciting time to be an Oklahoma City fan, man. But let's go to tonight's game. Game three of the Eastern Conference, game two of the Eastern Conference Finals, will be going down at Madison Square Garden. The Knicks are down 0-1. Big win for the Pacers 2 games ago. Of course, we talked to Kaz about that. I just want to give my recollection of this. That statistically was the biggest choke job we've seen in NBA history. Like, if we're just going off stats. But it's also going to something that I've been saying for weeks since the playoffs started. Me and Pep, do not sleep on the Pacers. This is a team that has only lost 16 games since January 1st, and that is including the playoffs. They have been on an incredible run. You got Rick Carlisle, one of the most underrated coaches in basketball. You got a guy like Tyrese Halliburton, who no matter what these hater polls say, is a great player. And I think the other night he got real close to superstar. Everybody knows who this kid is now. He has no fear. This team has no fear, and they're really living off the hate, and the people don't want to see this team in the finals. Now, I do believe this is going to be a long drag-out series. I think the Knicks are going to win tonight. But this is like, the Knicks are in scary waters right now. And I don't think a lot of the Knicks fans want to admit this, but they pulled a Boston Celtics the other night. It's like what the Knicks did to the Celtics in the last round, the Pacers did to them. And the Pacers are going to go on here like, yo, we did this to Cleveland next round. If we can leave Madison Square Garden with 2 dubs, that's a good chance they're not getting out of Indiana. So I think right now this is a must-win for the Knicks. And the scary thing for the Knicks is Jalen Brunson can't call up the town. Everybody played good games. Everybody played good games in game one, man. So that would be something I'd be worried about. Dante, what's your thoughts about this series, and what you think about tonight?
I think it's must-win. And I rarely call game two is must-win. But if you go back to Indiana down 0-2, you know, that is going to be a problem. They've already done what they needed to do, which was to steal a game in the Garden. And if they can take 2, now you're really back on your heels. And, you know, definitely must win game 3, because if you go down 3-0, it's over. But I think for the Knicks, you have to win. Being up, that should give you, you know, a little bit of pull, a little bit of relief. So, you know, say, hey, we can beat this team, and we were up on this team. But at the same time, if you can't close, and one thing we've seen as Bulls fans, Tom Thibodeau struggles with this, he needs to find pockets to get rest for his stars, because at the end of the game, they were gassed, bro. Brunson with the damn near air ball, Cat with the damn near air ball. Like, they're struggling to get these shots up because they've been playing 48, 52 minutes and shit like that. So I think it's one of those situations where you have to, you know, if you're Tibbs, find moments for them to get some rest, because you need them to finish strong, because you have to win this game. If they go down 2-0, I picked Pacers in 6, but I think this could be a Pacers in 5 type of deal where they really go in there and just mop them up. So I think this is one of their few game 2s that's a must win.
Bang, what's your thoughts on this game, man?
Oh, this is a must game. This is a must win. Knicks got to win this. They got to win this decisively, too. It's going to be a bad, bad situation if the Knicks win, because then it's going to take the air out of all of the Knicks fans. I really believe that the Knicks are winning because of energy, and the energy that the fans bring them are as just as helpful as anything else. It's going to be scary times, very scary times if they lose this game, because if with the Pacers coming in Indiana, I can tell you, because you know one of my markets is Indianapolis. They ready. They are ready. They are starved. They feel like how Cass said that he feels like this is the best chance to win a title in his lifetime. Oh, the Pacers? They feel like this is probably not going to be, it's not going to ever be a better chance for them to win. So the thirst for them to win is just as big, probably if not bigger, than the Knicks, even though the Knicks just went through they went through. So they got to win. I do not want the Knicks to go to Indianapolis down too.
Yeah, man. It's going to be an interesting game. Like Dante, we know it's getting packed over there. Game about to kick off in a couple minutes. So we're going to talk about it around the horn. Dante, just haven't sent us any thoughts you think about this legendary show, it going, and what this means for the future of actual sports media.
That's unfortunate, because this is one of the shows where you got, you know, a variety of opinions, and they will all come there and actually discuss things in a civilized manner. Yeah, they crack jokes, you know, they would not even yell at each other, but, you know, go back and forth a little bit, but at the same time, everybody was given an opportunity to give their opinion, and you learned a lot. And now we're more and more getting into scenarios where these platforms and these, you know, networks, it's not really a lot of variety in thought. It's a lot of, you know, people saying the same thing. And that's not good to me. That's not what journalism is about. That's not what sports journalism should be. So you hate to see it go. It was a show that I felt with that formula, you can just, you know, pass it around for generations. And really just keep cycling in new writers and letting the public get familiar with them that way. But you hate to see it go. But it definitely served its purpose. And it's a great show.
All right, Dante, we're going to let you go. Follow Dante at OctoberZonte on Twitter, man. He will be giving updates to tonight's game. I think it's the Padres are in town, right? It's the Padres?
Yes, sir, Padres.
Padres, Braves, man. Ronald Acuna Jr.'s return. So get up with him and check out a new episode of High and Outside right now, all social media platforms. Dante, we're going to holler at you next week. All right, man, let's get back to what we were talking about with Around the Horn. Yeah, man, this show has been a show that I have been watching. I'm haven't watched it in a long time. I had it on my TV during the when it was on SportsCenter's on right now. But this is one of the shows that gave me my love for sports and sports media. Like when I would come home in grammar school, I would watch. I only had a couple hours to watch TV. Only had a couple hours to watch TV before my parents let me do my homework. And I would always watch Rap City because the school I went to was down the street. So I got home very, very quickly to watch Rap City. I watched 106 in Park. And in that time frame between it, I also watched Round the Horn, Pardon the Interruption. And this guy right here, Tony Reale, who was the legendary host of Round the Horn. I remember he was the stat guy. Stat boy on Pardon the Interruption. And to see his glow up from that to having the most iconic shows of all time has been great. But I also think this is disappointing because now we see in the world of sports media, everybody got a platform. Now I know you're probably watching this like, nigga, you got a lot of nerve. You got a platform too. Yes, but I take a lot of pride in not hot taking it up on this show. I try not to do clickbaity things, even though I know that probably would help my engagements if I did more clickbaity things. I feel like a nigga who was a rapper who don't want to do, make a song for the ladies. Like, remember I used to tell rappers do that back in the day? That's how I feel when it comes to, like, clickbaity things. But this is one of the shows that actual sports conversation and how I got to know about certain beat writers who weren't in my market. How you learned about the Woody Pages, you know, the Bob Ryan, you know, Bomani Jones, Michael Smith, Jamel Hills, everybody, you know, Pablo Torre, Izzy Gutierrez, everybody who's been on that show, you know, friend of the program, Stu Guys, everybody who's been on that show, I just really enjoy watching them. So it's really disappointing that this is going off. But that's just kind of like the new era of sports media and just a new era of, you know, streaming now, where ESPN is trying to sell this straight to consumer product, man. Y'all know I'm very transparent on the show, and I've got to take a piss. So I'm going to let Bang give his talks before this show. I'll be right back.
All right, I wasn't expecting that. Let me first say that Around the Horn for a while has been my favorite show on ESPN. I've been watching it since its debut, like when Max Kellerman was the host, and seeing when I liked him, Jay Mariotti and Woody Page and all of those people, J.A. Adande, who works at Northwestern now, has been one of those shows that has been a staple for me. It's weird seeing shows that you grew up watching that's still around. I think it's been since 2002. And you've literally grown up with the show. Like, you look at Stat Boy and how young Stat Boy looked on Pardon the Interruption, and then him seeing him on today, and you start to see, like, man, like, this dude right here, as I take Scott down because he got pissed, like, this dude right here was just somebody who we grew up with. From Stat Boy, Pardon the Interruption, to Around the Horn, and kept the show going in a way in where we didn't think this show was going to last too long after Max Kellerman was going to be gone. So, like, when we look at this show and the legacy it brought out, I also look at the people that they've highlighted: Jamel Hill, Michael Smith, Kate Fagan, Pablo Torre, Bomani Jones, the OGs, Bill Plaschke, J.A. Adande, Woody Page. Again, even though he weird now, Jay Mariotti and others. It really gave sports writers a space, PTI and Around the Horn, a space to not just hot take it. Todd or Tim Callishaw as well, they didn't have to hot take it. They come up in there and they use what they do with their sports writing and bring it to the TV. So I used to love that block of time on ESPN, Around the Horn, Pardon the Interruption. Going to miss it, especially when you got to wonder how long it's going to be before PTI is gone as well. I think this is, just one of those situations to where, damn, it's a part of what we grew up with that's gone. So shout out to Tony Reale. Shouts out to everybody who's ever made an appearance on Around the Horn. And for me, it's sorely going to be missed.
Definitely, man. Shout out to Tony Reale. Shout out to everybody. You're right about the I definitely thought that, too, PTI is next. But I think the good thing about PTI is, they've been on so long, like longer than they probably should have been on. Like, those two dudes are old, and I mean that in a very respectful way. To have that longevity in the sports media industry, you know, especially Wilbon. Kornheiser, like, he just do this and go on. Like, I don't know if Kornheiser still writes, but I know it's like he just does that and just goes on. Wilbon's still doing NBA Countdown sometimes. Like, Wilbon still be out here, man. But definitely shout out to them. But that's just the future with legacy media and stuff, man. And, you know, it is what
my
it is, man.
Nigga, I'm so glad you said
that. Yeah, one of the best moments. He was so happy to say that. My nigga, I'm glad you said that. Now, we were talking about Jalen Brunson, his Chicago ties. No, Mike Wilbon's actually from Chicago. Michael Wilbon actually from Chicago. In fact, I think his mother or somebody related to was one of Pappy's teachers. I don't know, we got to get him on here and ask him that. But yeah, so much respect to Around the Horn, man. But let's talk about another story that was pretty big this week. that happened after we were on the air on Monday, and that is this cornball brother right here, RG3. I don't even know where to start with. I don't start. First of all, it's like a whole bunch of stuff that happened because I saw today that Ryan Clark put out an apology because he said he should never mention his wife.
That's to the wife.
Yeah, to the wife. There's a couple things I want to say about that. As you can see, RG3 here with his wife. We'll see my man RC here getting a fit off. Shout out to RC. He's real cool when I met him at the draft 2 years ago. But I want to go to RG3 first. So the thing about RG3, it kind of feels like, now, in the words of Ray J, be who you want to be. Love who you want to love. If you, the person you love with, just happens to be a white woman, do your thing. But the way he moves about it, like he's sorry for being with a white woman, and like he's like, oh, it's milk day, it's milk this, it's very corny. You know what I'm saying? Like, and to the point where maybe we owe Rob Parker an apology. He said it on First Take a decade ago. He's a cornball brother. And first of all, I just hate all of this discourse around Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. Y'all did it last year during their rookie years. It's year two. Let's stop it. Enough. Enough of it. And for him to go that extra level, and what made it even nastier to me was the pitch, was his wife in the background, like, yeah, like co-signing everything he's saying about this black woman. Like, married or not, there's just some stuff you don't say in mixed company. And especially on national mixed company, because he is RG3. He has a big platform. So a lot of people are going to give this. So I understood where Ryan Clark came at him with this. And, you know, one thing I think RC does really, really well on the pivot is he really explains how he's feeling and gets his point across, where I feel like not coming out without being disrespectful and things like that. And for this one, I think he hit the nail on the head. He hit the nail on the head with this. But what's kind of wild to me was this, and not that it has anything to do with it, but pointing out to somebody has a white wife when you have multiracial kids, things kind of crazy. That's just me. And that's why I feel like he probably apologized to his wife a little bit too. But to me, it's just one of those conversations.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you there.
Go ahead.
Because just because he stained one and got her pregnant like that, though, because talking about Ryan, like he stained.
No, I'm just saying. No, yeah, I'm not saying that it makes what RG3 did right. I'm just saying when he said, "Oh, and your wife is white," that point, and then you got a mixed kid. That's just a little wild to me. That's like you're gonna call somebody out for that. You shouldn't call somebody out for that when you've dabbled in snow too. That's just my opinion.
This is what he called them out at. He actually called them out with what you was talking about earlier. It ain't the fact that you have a white wife, because anybody could be married and be down. It's every time you have a discourse around black women, it's downing them. And you have a white wife. And anytime that you talk about your white wife, you use terms like milk, like it's milk day and all. So it's, you are fetishizing. I think Ryan Clark did a very well measured shading of RG3, because you can marry who you want to. You could be who you want to be. But RG3 fetishizes his wife in front of everybody. Her being in the back and doing all of the stuff while he was talking about Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. Him going on Instagram talking about some "It's Milk Monday" or Twitter "It's Milk."
Very crazy.
You got a white woman. Like, we got
very crazy. Like, more than her being white. I say, I just want to say, more than her being, this goes with what you're saying. More than her being white, that's your wife, my nigga.
Like, yeah, that's your wife.
Relax.
Like, you don't have to fetishize your wife in front of everybody because she's white. And that's where RG3 was getting at. Like, fam, you continue to the fact that he came out and said that Angel Reese hates Caitlin Clark, and it was just basketball. It was just basketball. Because if you look at the entire play, Angel Reese pushed. Yeah, it was it was just all basketball. Angel Reese pushed Aaliyah Boston. Caitlin Clark pushed Angel Reese. Andrew Reese said, bitch, what's wrong with you? That'll happen in the NBA game.
Yeah, all
that
the time.
That happens in the NBA game. You push my teammate, I'm going to push you. Bitch, what you talking about? It happens in the game. So for him to not only say that she hates her, but even to insinuate if she would have punched him, if Angel Reese would have punched Caitlin Clark, she would have been gone from the league for the year. It's not just that he said that. It's that part insinuating, because if she hits Caitlin Clark, she's going to be suspended for a year. Why? Why? Because she's the cash cow or she's a white woman? That's the issue that I believe that I had. That's the issue that I have. And I believe that's the issue that Ryan Clark had. This is a basketball play. This has everything to do with basketball. So for you, a black man, to go on your platform and say that this black woman hates this white woman, and to use jealousy as a reason for her hating this white woman, and to insinuate that if this black woman were to hit this white woman, she would be suspended for the year. When if you watch the WNBA, and I am not an avid watcher, but I know that the WNBA is way more physical than the NBA product.
Yeah, I watched that game.
Do. Like, this is what they do. It is much more physical. And they do it for that reason. But it's always, like, this is it. But it's always outrage when something like that happens to Caitlin Clark. It was a couple of games that happened the other night that the women were extra aggressive towards each other. Do they hate each other? No. So to insinuate that this black woman hates this white woman because everything this white woman is getting, that's what Ryan Clark is talking about. And the fact that you got your white wife behind you, cheering you on, yeah, babe, don't make it better. Go talk to your mom, and your mom will probably tell you the same thing that Ryan Clark is saying. Because I saw RG3 put out a video of basically him showing his mom and insinuating, well, how come this would happen if, you know, if I got a black woman in front of me? Well, look, any black woman to tell you, don't go on national TV saying or on your platform talking about how much this black woman, this tall, big black woman, hates this small white woman because of everything that she gets. Because she's jealous. No, RG3 has to be much more smarter in how he does his takes. And this is also why I hate this hot take culture. RG3 was wrong. Ryan Clark was wrong for bringing in his wife. They should have stayed with each other. But at the same time, other than that, I don't see nothing what RC said was wrong. He was right on the money.
Now, I would say, his overall take on RG3, I want to say, to me, it was just, this is just my opinion. If you're going to say, oh, it's your white wife, I think he made a huge emphasis on the white thing. And I 100% agree, but I feel like you pulling out the race of her when you like to dabble in the snow too is a little crazy, just for me.
I think the issue was, RC ain't fetishizing it. Like, yeah, you could dabble in it, but you're not fetishizing it. You're not making this basically a part. Like, your wife is a part of you. My wife is a part of me. You don't want to see some of the text messages that was going off while we on this show with her looking at me while we doing the show, fam. But I'm not about to be on here fetishizing my wife. And that's where RG3 is wrong. That's where RG3 is crazy. You're on Twitter fetishizing your wife because she's white. She's a white girl who ran track at Florida State. She's not ugly. We get you got a bad wife, but you're not saying that your wife is bad. You're saying that your white wife is bad.
You're That's saying that issue. She's bad because she's white, which is to me basically disrespectful to her.
And that's where I get what you saying, but RC ain't doing that. He got a white woman pregnant. That's his oldest child. He like, I thought y'all knew that. He's not fetishizing this. And that's why even his tweet towards RG3 even made it more. Fam, you want to talk about this? That's cool. But don't do it with your wife in the background, her cheering you on and stuff, and you a black man talking shit about a black woman who's getting into it with a white woman. No better than that. Do better than that. And it's not just RG3 that's got to stop doing that. All these black folks that's going on the Kaylin Clark train got to stop doing that. You can have this discourse without race being involved. Because at the end of the day, both of them want this discourse to stop. They want this to stop. They want them to stop having this discourse about race to keep it at basketball.
And to me, this is why, the WNBA has a long road, because we should, if you want this to be a great rivalry between Kaylin and Andrew, you should love the aggressiveness that comes with this. Like, what makes the Pacers-Knicks thing so great? We love it that these teams hate each other. And there's physical playing there. Like you said, the women's game is way more physical. And you should like the fact that Kayla Clark's like, hey, you're not coming to my house putting that stuff up. And you should want Andrew to do the same thing when she comes out here to Chicago and they playing. So to me, the fact that I hope this is not something that we're doing the rest of the year. These two women play four more times this season. Four more times. Let's not do this every time they play, man. So much love to Angel. Much love to Kayla Clark. RG3, get it together, brother, because I just a lot of stuff he says on his platform is just real goofy to me, and it's all the time. And I also say this too, not just with RG3, but niggas who and date who you want to date, but people, niggas who be with white women and want to tell you why they're with them, or they do something in a disrespectful way towards black women, y'all cornballs, bro. Y'all are absolute cornballs.
Them the ones RC talking about. Them the ones.
Exactly, man. So let's switch over. Orlando, good point. Also, yeah. The sky need to get a lot better because this rivalry become one sided. Very true. I mean, Angel has to do a lot better. Not the best.
I mean, it wasn't a rivalry in the first place. It was just them. They were the rivalry. Angel Reese.
It's not a team thing. But yeah, the sky in general, they put in. Look, the Liberty put in their bench players last night and was still working the sky. So I believe the Sky got a long road ahead of themselves.
Look, Angel Reese got a long road. She got to stop blowing Crips.
Yeah. She gotta get a finishing move, bro. Like, for real. So, but a lot of y'all watch this program because we like to talk about our favorite football team, and that is the Chicago Bears. This week, OTA started. It was a three-day OTA, obviously, this week and next week. But the media was only allowed for one day on Wednesday. So if you missed my recap video, don't worry, I got you. I'm going to play my recap video for what happened, and then I'm going to give more thoughts on what happened in day two of OTAs for Chicago. What's going on, man? It's your boy Scott Hill, the 79th and Hollis. I'm not going to hold you. Chicago Bears OTA report, man. It is 48 degrees here in Lake Forest, Illinois, which is freezing for May 21st. That's what happened when you live in Chicago. It's the shit you got to deal with. But nice fiery practice here today for the Bears. Went on about an hour and a half, almost 2 hours, which is pretty long for an OTA practice, man. But Ben Johnson spoke to the media. He got all in front of this Caleb Williams situation, man. So let's see what Ben Johnson said today.
It's come to my attention that the quarterback's been out in the media over the last week. And just to get out in front of that a little bit, I just wanted to say I wasn't here last year. And so I can't speak too much in terms of what it was like before he got here and when he got here last year. But for my 4 months on the job, he's been outstanding to work with, and we just are focusing on getting a little better every day.
And that's Bears head coach Ben Johnson on the Caleb Williams situation. I really love how he just got out in front of it. Let's just cut the bullshit and let's just get right to it. That's what I love to see. We also got to speak to Grady Jarrett, man. Grady Jarrett talked about the chemistry that this Bears team is gaining in just the three short months that he's been here, man. Let's get a little bit of Grady Jarrett.
He was one to, when I first signed with the team, you know, I saw down in Miami working out together. He put that together. He invited me, you know what I'm saying? And I thought that was a big, big gesture, you know, for him to invite me to be able to hang out with them, spend some time, work on some craft. And I was able to meet him and Tez before I came in the building. I think that's been good for our relationship even before we got in the building, you know, that just showed his willingness to try to take that next step. And but you can see him, man, you can see the work he's putting in, the weight room, away from the facility. He here early.
And that was great, Jared. Man, I really love to hear that Gervon Dexter invited him out to Miami for a practice and, you know, training before he even met him at the facility. I thought that was pretty dope to see. So we also spoke to newly extended Joe Tooney, man. A lot of people was wondering when this extension was going to happen, but they finally got it done after Ryan Poles said he was going to get it done, man. So he spoke to us today. Let's see what Joe Tooney had to say about his new contract extension.
The players, the coaches, the whole management, it's been awesome, you know, just to, you know, take part in this on this team. You know, obviously it's early in things, but just the attention to detail, the focus, the passion from players, the coaches, the staff, everybody, you know, it seems like everyone's pulling in the same direction.
And as you can see, he's pretty happy. I'd be pretty happy if I just got a couple $1 million as well. But a really good day here, day two of OTAs. They will be practicing here again tomorrow. And then we'll be here next week, next Wednesday as well. And then the week after that is a full week of mandatory minicamp. We'll be here for all 3 days of that. And then it's going to be a six-week break before the season begins. And then training camp starts. And that's where the fun begins. Man, it's your boy Scott at Barbershop Scott on all social media platforms. Holding it down for y'all here. 79th and Hatless Hand. I'm not going to hold you. We out. You see me get my producer chops on. My hosting chops on.
B-roll.
Shout out our super producer, Nikhil, who could put that, kick that together. I'm going to be doing it every week, so check it out. But yeah, Joe Tooney. He signed his 2-year extension worth $33.5 million to get $17.5 for next two. This is very, very good for Joe because, hey, man, everybody's locked up now. Everybody's locked up. You got Jonah Jackson, you got Joe Tooney, you got Dahlman, who just signed, and of course, you got Darnell Wright. And it's looking like we might have a rookie starting at left tackle this year. But I just said, folks, Sal Valentino. but I think this is a great move, man. Ryan Poles has been a man of his word all offseason. We can sit. I remember months ago we were saying, oh, he needs to get fired. He needs to get fired. And, you know, he has really had a great offseason. I think right now everything that happens on the field is going to be into the players' hands. It's going to be in the coach's hands. But he has completely revamped the offensive line, made sure these guys are around for the next 2 or 3 years, and has really put, really given Caleb and Ben Johnson everything for the most part that they need. I love that, you know, you can just feel being in a room that Joe Tooney was more relaxed. You know, one thing that fans and media, we probably don't put perspective, is players moving around, getting their family set, and knowing that he's going to be in Chicago, in Hallis Hall for the next couple of years. You can see really excitement on him and what that's going to be like. And this is, to me, the most stable this Bears offensive line has been in 2007, 2008. Like, when we got multiple.
Ruben Brown.
Yeah, that era. Yes. Yeah, Roberto Garza, like, that era, man. So I'm really excited to see that. And just watching practice, to even though it's just OTAs, snapping the ball, I'm like, it's not like last year where the defense was getting to Caleb so quick. it looked definitely better. But, Bang, what's your thoughts on this extension and just the offensive line finally looking stable?
Continuity, consistency. All of the things that we've been hearing about Joe Tooney with his time with the Patriots and the Chiefs, multiple Super Bowls and stuff like that. Everything that we've heard about him just screams that we're going to have a completely rebuilt – well, we have a completely built offensive line. But when it comes to the mental part of this and being the OG on the line that could teach people, you know, being able to, like, knowing that we're going to probably have a rookie competing at left tackle. His leadership is going to not only help that on the offensive line, but help down the locker room too. What I've noticed that the Bears have done, we talked about this before, we brought in not only good players, we brought in good locker room people too. Like, it's one thing to just bring in some good locker room people, but they huff. But we've brought in good people on the offensive and defensive line. They're going to be good people in the locker room to stabilize things there. But, of course, make sure it's stabilized at the positions too. So I love this move. I love the consistency. I love how they rebuilt this offensive line. And I want to know how folks look at OTAs right now at this point.
Well, OTA, I'll give you my OTA report here, man. So, like I said, I was there Wednesday, and it was raining. It was cold. Felt like February. But the practice was in the Walter Payton Center, which is their indoor facility. The Bears have three fields at Halas Hall. So, this is like field number three. I was like, usually, if it was during the regular season, it wasn't raining hard. If this is during the regular season, they had to practice outside. But it's OTAs. You don't want anybody to even get remotely hurt, by tripping on something or, getting whatever, pulling something because the weather, slippery grass, whatever. So that was good. But I didn't see any of the rookies. The two prize rookies. I didn't see Luther Burden there. Ben Johnson said Luther Burden, he has a soft tissue injury from rookie minicamp, and he said he does not know when he will be back. I would be concerned if this was July. Since it's not July, I am not really thinking about it. He's young. I think he will be good on that one. I didn't see Colston Loveland. Nobody asked him about it, so I'm guessing it was excused absence, but I personally didn't see him. But what I liked the most from seeing was just the coaching. And, I'm not going to make too much of this. I'm not going to make too much of performance because we still got 2 months before training camp starts. But it looked like an actual program. It looked like an actual game plan, which is something that is basic, something that should happen for every team. But compared to the last 3 years of Eberflus, it just looked totally different to me. Like, Bang, I was watching. And they were doing this thing. They had this exercise where, like, they were not exercise. They were doing 11-on-11s. And while the defense was right here, Al Harris is in the middle of the field, like behind the secondary. Al Harris is in the middle of the field behind the secondary on the Bears' seat, and he's, like, watching how everything is going on with the secondary and, how it's looking from his point of view. You see Eric Bieniemy working real, real hard with the running backs. Cussing them out when they're doing things wrong, making sure they're on the right track. And just the whole time, Ben Johnson just watching everything going on at the same time. Antoine Randall was very, very active on this. And, right now it's like they're setting up a culture. They're setting up a program out there and making sure everybody's on their P's and Q's already in the season, even though it's just OTAs. And we even had a moment where, Cole Kmet did something wrong, and he yelled at Cole Kmet. Ben Johnson, like, nah, enough of that. Like, this is the way you got to do this. And, obviously not on some dicker stuff, but he was also like, oh, let's get this in order here, man. And that was something that we pointed out to him in the press conference. And I think it was Adam Hogue asked, like, we saw you getting a little fiery. He said, oh, y'all saw that? He said, man, the team said I got to get better with my body language. So I'm going to work on that body language, man. But you could just really see what he's trying to work through right now. And also, this is a long practice. This is a 2-hour OTA practice. Let me put into perspective what this means. During the Eberflus era, not only were practices not 2 hours, training camp practices were, like, we might have had 2 training camp practices that were 2 hours all last year. So he's doing that already in OTAs, which let me know, okay, this is a little different. So it's just, it feels like for the first time since, I'm gonna give Nagy. First time since Nagy, we'll feel like there's adults in the room. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can sit up here and blame Nagy for a lot. Y'all already know I'm not a Nagy fan on the field as a person. Nagy's cool. But this feels like you have adults in the room, people who know what they're trying to do. And also one thing that stood out to me too, Ben said that Caleb has been in the building every day for the past 6 weeks, which is key. You know what I'm saying? He's been in the playbook. He's been working out and really locking in with that entire offensive staff. And I also saw Dennis Allen. Like, the coaches were very visible, which is something I didn't see a lot in the Eberflus era. Where sometimes I didn't see him as much and as active and as loud as they were in just a simple OTA practice. I know Ross Tucker was on. I think it was David Hall, the Mullion Hall show. Shout out to David Hall, who was he's on it this morning. He said that he's concerned about Caleb. And they put it out in a clickbaity way, but if you actually watch the video, I kind of understand where he's coming from, saying that you can feel how you want to feel, but why are you going telling the author who's writing a book about this. Why are you know doing these certain things? And he feels like he should have spoke to the media. I felt like Caleb should have spoke to the media too, to just get out in front of it. Oh, I wasn't expecting him to speak to the media. When I walked in the Hallis Hall and I didn't see his name on the board, I wasn't really shocked. But I felt like it would have been good of him to get it out there. But at the same time, I did love Ben Johnson bringing it up before he was even asked. And that's something, nothing. We did not see Eberflus. By the dollar, for every time Eberflus threw Caleb or Justin run him over with a truck, I'd be a millionaire. Happened all the time. So for the first time back, it just felt like it was actual grown-ups going on with the Bears.
Look, man, I remember even before we signed Ben Johnson, I had said he looked like a madman. He looks like Lil Gruden. So seeing everybody, including you, who now see him at OTAs, like, yo, he's kind of like a madman. It basically confirms everything that I thought, that we got somebody that's going to be really intense on the sidelines and hold players accountable. But I do love the fact that he got out in front of it. I wasn't there last year. Like all of that happened, I wasn't here. I'm here to take care of now, and I'm looking for the challenge. Like, the one thing that I hate about this Bears discourse is acting like anybody that comes to this organization is just going to be terrible as soon as they get here because of the curse of the Bears or whatever curse of the Bears. We haven't, since Dave Wannstedt got the highly coveted head coaching prospect. We got that there. The last time we got that before that was Mike Dicker, who angled, who pitched, who wanted to come back to the Bears to get this job. The Bears have never been in a situation where they picked a quarterback number one in the draft. We got that. We could talk all about this quarterbacks go to dot thing. I think that's overrated. I honestly think that's overrated. Cade McNown came here to die for him? No, he did not come in. The last two quarterbacks, and really the last one, is the reason why we got that. And even with the Caleb Williams and the shit with this book, correct me if I'm wrong, but Caleb Williams' daddy was the one who was talking to Chef Wickersham, and not necessarily Caleb. He was getting all of this from Caleb's dad. And everybody is talking like Caleb is the one who was talking to this man in this book. Ross Tucker was talking to 670 to score, and he's talking like Caleb is talking to this guy. No, it's his dad. But if Ben Johnson says what he's been getting from Caleb is what he wants and he's excited about that, I'm all happy. At the same time, I ain't draft this dude either. So, hey, we can make this short and sweet if we want to, but I don't think that Ben Johnson is not here if Caleb is not here. So they're tied together. I think it's going to work. I think it's a lot of that stuff is going on. I'm glad that Ben got in front of it. That's what leaders do. He did not do what Eberflus did. And Michael Wilbon even said something earlier today on First Take that people don't think about. The Bears lost 5 games last year in either the last minute or the last second. So this team is not as bad as people pointed out to be. They were bad at coaching. They was bad at coaching, therefore they was bad at executing. So with that being said, this man knows what he's getting himself into. And not only do he know what he's getting himself into, he came in with a plan. He is starting to put it out there. And this right here was the stuff outside of the plan that we've been hoping to see from a head coach too. And quite honestly, we have not seen since Lovie Smith. I'm excited.
Yeah, I think that's the best word to use, excited. In a cautious excitement. Because like I said, I'm not going to take anything seriously from this team until they're at least playing competitive November football, which they have not done in 5 years. But I thought it was a good start. That's what I'll say. I thought it was a good start to now phase 3 of the program. So we'll see what happens next Wednesday. I have a report for y'all then. And then, of course, the week after that, a full week of mandatory minicamp before the guys go on their final 6-week vacation. And for you know it, brother, the season is on. So That's all we got for y'all today. Short episode. You know, these episodes are going to get a little shorter as we head to the NBA Finals. And after the NBA Finals, you know, we take our mandatory two-week reset. And we always return when NBA free agency kicks off. But, man, we got a lot of stuff going on with the network right now. You know, Shirtless Plantain Show, the newest members of the team. Our first official pods on the Barber's Chair FC, which is our soccer football division. They dropped two episodes this week. So check out Tosin's rant on Manchester United. He was yelling like me and Bang do about the Bears. So check that out on there. There's a new episode of High and Outside that's up right now. A new episode of Ruthless Aggression with Pierce, Rob, and with Chris Novak as they get ready for everything going on in WWE and wrestling this week. And yeah, man, so we appreciate all y'all, man. You know to follow me on all social media platforms at Barbershare Scott. You can follow Bang at JR Bang on all social media platforms. Follow the Barber's Chair at Barber's Chair Co. Follow our partners at HB Media TV on Twitter and at HB Media on Instagram. Follow the show's new Instagram page. I'm not going to hold you at INGHY Show. And of course, man, subscribe to our Patreon, man. Patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network, man. If you are listening to this on the podcast platforms, you can click on the link in the description box. If you watch this on YouTube, take your phone up to the QR code, scan it, and it'll take you to all four different tiers. If you subscribe to the $5, I'm not going to hold you tier, or the $10 all access Barber's Chair tier, you get 25% off your first order at the bcnetshop.com. Get all of your gear from the network and all of your favorite shows here, man. So, yeah, man, there will be no show on Monday because it is a holiday. I will be getting intoxicated and drinking some good barbecue. So we will be back next Friday. Won't be a midweek show for the next 2 weeks because I will be at Hallis Hall covering those practices. And if you're a summer sessions person, we won't have enough a couple weeks for as well because of traffic that happens when I'm coming back from these practices. So it's gonna be a couple weeks. We'll be back for that in June, man. But that's all we got for y'all. Bang, anything you want to plug before we wrap this up?
Latest episode of First Black Champ is currently out right now, citing a nice main event is tomorrow. So we're gonna be talking about that on Sunday morning. And we've changed the date of our record days for some dude. We're going to be recording on Wednesdays, so be able to check out the live show on Wednesdays and the actual audio episode on Thursdays.
Well, that actually makes things interesting. We probably do summer sessions on Tuesday now. So we'll figure that schedule when Pappy gets back from London, man. But yeah, that's all we got for y'all. Have a good holiday weekend. Enjoy the playoff games. If you're into soccer like I am, a lot of good matches this weekend as well. Big wrestling, big sports weekend. So we're going to holler at y'all on Monday. Shout out to Cass for joining us. Shout out to Dante. Follow Dante for your Atlanta Braves access. He's going to be live tweeting all through Braves and Padres tonight live in Truist Park. And, yeah, Ronald Acuña Jr. is back. So check it out. We're going to holler at y'all on next Friday. Be about it.